Many of us have a tradition of making Christmas cookies every year. They're not always beautiful, depending on who gets the sprinkling job, but they're usually pretty tasty.
On this Food Friday, we're challenging you to try some new kinds of Christmas desserts, one that might even taste good and be pretty. And our guest promises they're not as hard to make as they may look.
Susan Feast has been a pastry chef working in the Madison area for nearly 20 years. She owns and operates a small dessert catering business called Sweet Feast and is a baking instructor in the culinary arts program at Madison College. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into some recipes, how did you first fall in love with baking?
Well, I always loved baking, but I started out as a social worker, and I thought I wanted to be a social worker all my life until I was one, and then and then I realized that was not for me. So I kind of thought about what could I do, and friends were like, oh, you love cooking, you love baking. And that was the first I realized that there was a program through MATC, which was downtown then, a two-year program for culinary arts. So I went through that, and then I worked at various restaurants in the area back in the old Ovens of Brittany days.
Oh, yeah.
So most of us probably got our start there. And then I was working at L'Etoile as a cook, and the pastry chef left. And so I said, oh, I'll give it a shot. And that's when I realized my love for baking and pastries. So I've been doing that ever since.
Now, I'll say, and I'm probably like a lot of people, there are some things, some desserts I'm happy to bake. I've got my go-tos, my crisps and cobblers and things like that that I think of as easy stuff. And everything else out there I think is too hard for me. But actually, some stuff can look pretty fancy, but be easier than we think to make, right?
That's for sure, yes.
So give me some guts here. Give me some inspiration to try something out of my comfort zone with dessert baking before we get to our recipes.
Well, I think the main thing is making sure that you read through your recipe and understand it before you get started. And another important thing is having what we call in the industry mise en place, and that is getting everything set up first. So if you're making cookies, for example, you measure out your flour, your sugar, everything that's going into them, and then it's all right there. So when you're ready to start, you're not running back and forth to the flour bin and back and forth to the refrigerator. And let's see, did I put that baking soda in or didn't I? So it's all right there, and it makes it go really smooth.
That's a great lesson for me, because I've had the, okay, I'm ready for the applesauce in my dessert recipe now, and I pull out the applesauce. Wow, that's been there a long time. It's got mold all over it. I have to switch to a different recipe halfway through.
That's right.
Now, you gave us some recipes, and one thing I noticed on that is you list the weight of the ingredients and the measurement. And I've seen a lot of bakers talk about, you know, if you can get that scale instead of you saying, you know, a cup or two cups or whatever. Why does that make a difference?
Well, because for one thing, like a cup of flour isn't always going to weigh the same. So depending on how you pack it, how you get it out of the bin, it could weigh, it could be like an ounce off on either side. And once you're doubling or tripling, that can make quite a difference. So we say what you can actually measure in a volume cup is, we say mew, M-E-W, milk, eggs, water. So you can measure milk, 8 ounces of milk is gonna weigh 8 ounces. But like if you're gonna get 8 ounces of, well, we joke around like if a pound of feathers is gonna weigh the same as a pound of lead. And that's kind of why to put something in a measuring cup, there's all kinds of space in there that isn't really gonna give you a true picture of what you have.
We were talking about holiday baking with Susan Feast. She's a baking instructor in the culinary arts program at Madison College. She owns a catering business called Sweet Feast. And now we're going to get out of our cookie zone for the holidays. You've shared a couple recipes with us. We have them online at wpr.org/foodfriday. You're working with us on some truffles now and a ganache. You've got a basic ganache recipe. I think I'm saying the word right.
You are.
What is ganache?
So ganache, and that's spelled G-A-N-A-C-H-E, ganache. So some people aren't familiar with it, although I think these days more and more people are. Ganache is simply pretty much equal parts cream and chocolate. And depending on the type of chocolate, you may need more cream or more chocolate. But that's really all it is. So with that, you can do so many different things. The way that I would, the best way to do it, I feel, is to heat your cream and then pour it over your chocolate, then let the chocolate sit for 30 seconds, maybe a minute, because you want to make sure that your cream warms and melts the chocolate and not that the chocolate cools the cream down.
Okay, and then we've made this, and it looks like people do a lot of stuff with it. You can use it in place of frosting, it looks like, in desserts like cake, right? But what we're doing today is we're just turning it directly into chocolate truffles. How do we take that ganache, that cream and melted chocolate, and truffleize it?
Okay, so, and you can do lots of different flavors with one batch. So you're going to make your big batch of ganache, and at that point, you can either chill the whole thing, then it becomes a truffle mixture. Like, that's what truffles are, chocolate ganache. Mm-hmm. So you can chill the whole thing and use your scoops to scoop out little balls and roll it in different things. So if you wanted to roll it in, for example, English toffee bits or dried cherries or nuts or such a variety of ways that you could go with it. You could just roll it in there, or you could divide it up, like have individual little bowls. And like in one bowl, this is what I brought in today for you, but in one bowl you can have like some Grand Marnier and chopped candied orange, for example. And then in another bowl, you might put coconut, and in the next bowl, you might put nuts. My favorite is toffee, so that you can either have the toffee mixed into the chocolate or roll it in the toffee or both. But so with this one batch of chocolate, you can make all kinds of different flavors.
And for the listeners out there, you're not seeing my facial reactions, but they're long lines of, ooh, Grand Marnier, that sounds good, is what you're missing, not seeing the visual here. One thing I love about this idea, you make the one kind of thing, you can do different truffles, and also you've got a basic scone recipe. I love both of these because once you know how to do the basic thing, you can do all kinds of different variations with them. Is that a good lesson for bakers? Like, learn that basic thing and then branch out from there?
That's the whole thing right there. And it's the same with people that are like, oh, I don't like baking because it's such an exact science and I'd rather cook where I can be creative. And it's true that it's an exact science just for your basic formula. But then from there, you can just take it to any level. So scones, for example, you can do sweet scones, you can put berries or dried fruit or lemon peel, basically anything you want for a sweet scone, or you can keep the sugar out and turn it into a savory scone, and there you have another whole wealth of different things that you could do with it.
Now, my imagination is not very good, and I just can't imagine how these truffles would taste. And you've got samples there. Could we dig one out now?
Well,
I'll give it a shot. Yeah, and then you can talk about them a little more while I.
Okay.
Now this is. You really did a lot of different ones. Is that Grand Marnier one there?
Yeah, that is.
All right. Wow. This is. So wait, some of these are dark and some of these are white. Did you do some of these with white chocolate?
Some is, and also some is milk. So I made the ganache using all three different chocolates, and then put different things in them. So another thing I wanted to mention, though, with the ganache is that you want to make sure that you test it out first to make sure that you have the right amount of cream. Like if you're doing a milk chocolate, you're probably going to do more like 3-to-1 chocolate to cream. And for white chocolate, even less than that. You want to experiment because different chocolates have different amounts of cocoa butter, so it's not always going to come out the same.
So but with a dark chocolate, I'm going to use more cream, right?
Less.
Less chocolate.
Oh, okay. And then with the milk chocolate, a little bit. No. I'm sorry. Yeah, you have it right.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Less with the dark chocolate because there's less the butter in it, or the cocoa butter.
So you use more. We'll start over.
Good.
with the chocolate, basically you're thinking equal parts for dark chocolate.
Okay.
When you get to milk chocolate, you're going to want to go with less cream.
Check.
And white chocolate even less yet.
Now, you've brought about 12 here. Did you bring any for anyone else to eat? Because that's just enough for me. No, these are fantastic. And you can find the recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Learn how to make your own truffles just in time for maybe a holiday gathering. We're talking to Susan Feast on this edition of Food Friday. She's a pastry chef, owner of a small dessert business called Sweet Feast, and she's been a baking instructor in the culinary arts program at Madison College for almost 20 years.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have any dessert questions around this holiday time? What's your favorite dessert to make during this season? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. We've got scones on the way, by the way. You're listening to Central Time.
We're talking with Susan Feast. She's an experienced pastry chef and baking teacher at the Culinary Arts Program at Madison College.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your favorite dessert to make or eat during the holiday season? Is there something you've seen maybe in a bakery or a chocolate shop that you'd like to try to replicate on your own? Do you have any questions for to ask about baking for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes, including that chocolate ganache and some scones and a tart at WPR.org/Food Friday, all provided by our guest. Let's go to your calls now. Eleni is on the line in Middleton. Eleni, hi.
Hi. First of all, I have to say I'm so excited. I'm on NPR.
Me too. I'm always excited to be on here. What did you want to ask about, Eleni?
So my family recently went vegan, and I was wondering if there are any non-dairy milks that you can use to make ganache instead of cream.
Ooh, good question. Thanks, Eleni. Any ideas?
Great question, because my husband actually just recently this past year decided to go vegan, which has been a challenge for me. But you can definitely do these using almond milk, soy milk, and basically any other liquid flavoring. You're going to want to change the amounts a little bit, so you can't use as much almond milk as you would cream. But what I suggest you do is put your chocolate in a bowl and just kind of cover it just so that the chocolate is peeking out of the almond milk, and then heat it up the same way, stir it up, add your flavorings, and it's really just as good.
Good luck, Eleni. That sounds great. Yeah, that wouldn't be too hard to pull off, I guess.
And you can use other, like juices or any type
really?
Of liquid. Cream, of course, is going to be the creamiest and the richest, but you can still make it really well without that.
Eleni, thanks for that call. Good luck in your baking efforts. Thanks for calling 800-642-1234. Susan, we also heard from Eric and Hazel Green. Eric called in saying, asking if you have a recipe for a good fruit cake. Now, you know, fruitcake, you know, is kind of a nemesis for a lot of people. Is there such a thing as a good fruitcake?
I don't have a recipe, although I did just recently make Christmas Stolen, and that was good. I have to say I've never made fruitcake.
Okay. You steer clear of the whole thing.
Pretty much.
All right.
Sorry.
Sorry, Eric, but if you find one, let us know. Now let's get to, you've got a couple more recipes you shared with us in addition to the truffles and the ganache. A chocolate berry tart, staying on the chocolate theme. And tarts, that's another one I think, that sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, no.
No?
So for that, I thought I would talk about that because you can use the same filling as for the truffles. You make your ganache, you put some of it in and chill it to turn it to truffles. While it's still warm, you pour it into a baked tart shell and let it chill, and now you have like a chocolate truffle tart. So for the crust of that, I included my recipe for shortbread, which is just three ingredients: flour, sugar, butter. And you cream your sugar and butter together, and then you add your flour. It's going to be a little crumbly, so you don't need to roll it out. You don't need to bring it together as a dough. You can just kind of sprinkle your crumbles into your tart pan and press it in there and bake it. And then you'll add your after you have your baked cooled tart shell, you can pour your chocolate ganache in. You could also put your favorite berry preserves on the bottom and then pour the chocolate over that and then decorate it with fresh berries on top. It's always a hit, and it really takes nothing to put it together.
And I really like the no roll crust, because that does deter me from making some kinds of pies and tarts. I don't want to, I'm really bad at rolling doughs. It's just a disaster for me, and I need some kind of help with that. But this sounds nice and easy.
Well, yeah, and there's lots of different shortbread recipes and tart recipes, but this is the one I like, that you just kind of sprinkle your crumbles on there. So if you're making it, don't get nervous and think, oh, this isn't coming together, I have to add more liquid, because it's set up that way not to come together, and that allows for you to just press it into place.
We're doing some holiday baking with Susan Feast. She owns a catering business called Sweet Feast. She's a baking instructor in the culinary arts program at Madison College. She's giving us some creative ideas for things we can bake, maybe for a holiday gathering. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Susan, people are into scones these days more and more, it seems like. This would be a fine thing for, like, you know, maybe Christmas morning, mm-hmm. or New Year's morning, whatever. Just a nice treat to start the day with. How hard are scones to make?
Again, they're easy. Like with anything, as long as you know the procedure and you're familiar with your recipe and your ingredients, you can put it together so quickly. And the nice thing about scones is that you can do several different things. You can make your dough and have it all set to go except for adding the cream at the end, and have it bagged, almost like buying off of the shelf a packaged scone mix, except that you made it yourself. So you have your flour, your butter, your sugar, all the dry ingredients together marked. When you're ready to make it, you just pull that out, dump it in the bowl, toss your cream in there, and then you're going to pat it into like a little disc and cut them. And that's basically what your dough is. So you can also make the whole thing, cut them, have them frozen, and pull them out and thaw them, put them in the oven, and you've got fresh, hot scones.
And my fear with scones, and I've made them this way, and I have had other scones, that they end up a little drier mm-hmm. than I'd like. And it's, how do we make sure that scones don't get too dry?
Great question. And they get a bad rap, I think. People think of scones as being dry. What you want to do, the main thing on that, is not to overmix your dough. So you're going to cut your butter into your sugar and flour, cut it in like if you were, well, I was going to say if you were doing a pie crust, but you don't do pie crusts. So.
but I've cut butter.
Cutting your butter into your flour so that all your little pieces of butter are coated with flour. This is then going to melt, and the steam is what creates all the little pockets in your scones. So you've got this all put together first. Then you're just going to throw your cream in at the end and just kind of quickly toss it together just until it holds together. And I think the biggest thing is people overmix things, and then the flour starts, the gluten starts to develop, and that's what causes it to be tough.
We've got your basic scone recipe at WPR.org, and in the recipe you talk about some changes to make if we want to do savory scones as opposed to sweet scones. What kind of things change when we're doing non-sweetened scones?
Basically just leaving the sugar out, and you can add herbs or garlic powder, onion powder, pretty much anything you want. Cheese, of course. You want cheese.
Right. So where does the cheese go in? Is it just stirred in and mixed throughout, or put on top and melted at the end? How do we add the cheese?
That's a great question. And it's the same thing when you're adding anything else to the scone mixture, is after I have it all ready, all the flour cut in and mixed together, just before I add my cream is when I toss in my extra ingredients. So that way you don't have to mix it more after you add that in.
Oh, okay. So, and that's going to prevent that gluten developing and prevent it from drying out.
Right.
Because we don't have that extra stirring stage.
And also when you're baking them, they're going to continue baking. The residual heat is going to finish off the baking process. So you're going to pull them when they're just nice and golden brown, but not overdone, because they're going to keep baking in the center a little bit more after they come out of the oven.
And are they like bread where you're not supposed to cut into them when they're still steaming hot? Because they're still baking, like you say.
Well, yeah. Maybe a few minutes.
Okay, because it's hard to resist. Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely best warm. They're also definitely best the day they're made. So if you're going to use them on another day, I would say either make them and freeze them and in order to bake them fresh, or freeze them right away after they're baked. And you're still going to lose a little bit there, but definitely you don't want to leave them sitting out.
And we've covered the recipes you shared with us. We have them all at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you say these are all pretty easy. Now, if there's somebody out there who's like, yeah, I do all that. What's a good next level thing for somebody who wants to try something a little bit more complicated, just in our last few moments?
You mean a different type of dessert?
Yeah.
Oh, I love doing cheesecakes. And there's just a little bit of things that you have to be more careful of with that you don't get the oven too hot and that it doesn't crack, and controlling the heat, controlling the time. But there again, you can use the same crust that we just talked about, bake it off, and then make your cheesecake, put it in there, top it with anything you want. And there too, then you can get lots of different desserts out of one basic batch.
Fantastic. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. It has.
Susan Feast is a pastry chef. She owns and operates Sweet Feast, a dessert catering, and is a baking instructor in the culinary arts program at Madison College. She joined us in the studio today to talk about some sweet treats to make during this holiday season. You can find the recipes she shared with us at WPR.org/Food Friday. We had the scones, the chocolate ganache and truffles, and that chocolate tart. Again, all at WPR.org/Food Friday.